with Darren, Kerry and Sky, East Coast Radio.
The Pretoria News published a story last week claiming that a mother from Pretoria had broken a Guinness World Record, having just given birth to 10 healthy children. And apparently the family lost contact with the woman, her name is Gwaziami Sithole, with her phone off, they opened up a case of missing person. Now, dramatic turn of events. The father of the so-called 10 beast of 10 has made a dramatic announcement saying that he does not believe his girlfriend has ever given birth to 10 babies. And it's worth saying that this only came out after being published on literally every major newspaper globally, a mayoral visit, and photos of the heavily pregnant woman.
So joining us to make try and make a little bit of sense of this, I think we can just call it a bizarre story, is William Bird, who is the director at Media Monitoring Africa. Mr. Bird, good morning.
Where's the word? Mr. Bird,
good morning.
Good morning.
Thanks for having me on the program.
No, thank you for joining us. So it's the year 2021. How is it possible? And I'm asking purely for my sake. I fact check my sources before I even think about even commenting, let alone making a post about anything. And I was caught out with this one. How is it possible that fake news like this can spread like wildfire internationally?
Sure. So I think a couple of reasons. The first is it's a story that kind of breaks with what we've been exposed to recently in our news cycle. You know, it's tended to be pretty bad news, what with the vaccine and a whole lot of people dying, among other things, and our economy not exactly doing spectacularly well. So when you get in that, a story that looks as though it's a very good news story of something that's really exceptional, it's something that, you know, everyone wants to know, oh, wow, look at this, isn't this amazing, that this happened. So the potential for it to spread like that is really very incredible. It also then helps if it's spread by what is ostensibly a news organization, and I think that's where we really are being exposed to some pretty cool lessons at the moment with this particular story.
I mean, William, I'm going to jump on that, what you just said now, because most of us only believed it because we saw headlines like IOL or Pretoria News, or even us at ECR, we ran the story. So from a journalistic point of view, how do you think that us as media houses could have handled the story and could have done this better?
So I think that the first thing is that you've got to look at IOL at the moment and say that what they've been doing is undermining public trust on a fairly significant basis. So, and that's not, so aside from these kinds of stories, so they're headline stories, you know, I can think of three off the top of my head that have profoundly undermined public trust. There was one in towards the end of last year about saying that, South Africa was falling into the hands of foreigners. Completely baseless, a lot of nonsense, and yet they published that, they never retracted, they didn't do anything about that. Then you just saw a judgment recently for Maria Ramos, where they had said that, you know, she had been guilty of fixing the RAN. She had never had no such part in that particular process, and that was a similar story. You then had another lead story where they said that, Johann Rupert had given an instruction to President Ramaphosa. Again, no evidence, baseless story, and nothing happened about that. So their headline stories are tending to be these things that are clearly pursuing some kind of political agenda and are driving in at something that undermines our trust in their news. So when you see their lead story, you think that they've taken the trouble to check their damn sources. You think that they've made the effort to ask the questions that you immediately think, hang on a minute, if someone's given birth to 10 babies, in this original story, 5 per vaginal birth and 5 C-section, you know, that mother is in a hospital somewhere. So those children, they were premature, they're all sorts of things. They're all going to be in there. There's got to be a lot of evidence and a lot of questions around how did that happen. There are people that will know about these things. And yet, none of that was presented. Now we're seeing those questions being asked, but it's too late, you know. This is a clawback for what seems to be someone that managed to dupe the author. But the point is that ordinary people are going around and feeling quite betrayed by the news media because they ran with this thing, you know, and I can understand why people would be very
William Bird, as far as it comes to the integrity of news media and the shrinking credibility from certain sources is certainly a concern, and that is a subject for another day. And I do want to focus on the 10 beast of 10. I know Sky wanted to ask you something. What did you want to ask something, Sky?
Mr. Bird, I read the statement yesterday from the family, from the father's family, which I hope is actually the correct statement and it's not fake news. And it looks like he had nothing to do with this. So I'm going to put this on the mother, uKgosiyami. What do you think her intentions were? Was it to make money or just to get some donations? Or like to get attention, I mean?
Well, you know, this is the thing with if it was a scam, you know, and we need to be careful about suggesting that the mother is somehow involved in this, or that we want to then just place all the blame on the mother. The blame for this needs to go on the news organization that ran with the story, that didn't do journalism to check their sources before they started to put this out there. That's how you stop a scam in its tracks. You know, when you fall for it, it's already too late. So, you know, whether, and we simply don't, and I was very interested that you said that statement, if it's the correct statement, is that now all of us are going, you know, do we believe that? Because it's come from him, and yet we've seen other statements that do. So this is the real danger of disinformation, is that it makes you then think, well, do I believe that or do I not believe that? And then you're left in a position where you no longer know what's real or credible. Yeah. And the job that we have now is to make sure that we actively pursue and put out good information to help people understand what actually is going on.
100%.
So when it is verified, we put that out.
William Byrd, I want to say, the Director of Media Monitoring Africa, I think we opened up a small can of worms here. It's something we're going to have to talk about. I thought South Africa was insulated, that we had very, very, we were able to identify quite easily our fake news publications from our genuine, bona fide, fact-check publications. But it does seem, you know, we don't have the problem of like Fox News in America or The Independent in the UK, and we can identify which ones are real and which aren't, but perhaps it's not that clear cut. So we've got William Byrd, the Director of Media Monitoring Africa. We have his number, and this is a story that we can delve into a little bit later. However, we have posted correctly now that this is not a true story, and as far as we know, the Tembisa 10 did not take place. It certainly, if the boyfriend or the partner of Mr. Tole is to be believed.
Wake up with Darren, Carrie and Skye, East Coast Radio.